Good morning.
Good morning.
Anybody know what day today is? What was that? It was the Lord's Day. Exactly. Thank you very much. We're here to do what? Worship the Lord. And not get caught up in Hallmark stuff. That's only me talking. So we've been working our way through some of the essentials of the faith. We have our statement of faith is in your hands. We're going to be probably voting on that in the next month or so. And those are the things that we believe that there are certain unwavering truths that set the standard for our fellowship. And so we've talked about the scriptures and their authority and how they're infallible. We spoke about Demetrius preached on God and did 3 weeks on the Father, and then I did a one on the church, and then the depravity of man. Remember that one? That one was left you waiting for the next week when we would be regenerated, thank God. God stepped in and in his mercy and in his love moved among us and called us out from the dead and regenerated us by his love and his mercy. And so what I thought I would do this morning, I'm going to revisit the church again. And the reason why is because there's been some interest among you as far as church membership. And so we have new members. We got Kyle and Terry and Deborah. And you know, we're excited to see what God's going to do through them. Their giftedness when they apply that in order to lift all of us up in the faith and to grow us up and mature. So that's why we're here. That's why your members is the Browers, another group that just joined us. And so they will be participating in contributing for the benefit of the whole. So that's, you know, that's exciting stuff where things are changing. It's getting a little more dynamic around here. That's great. So, but there definitely seems to be some increase in interest in other people who would like to know. So, what is church membership? Is church membership biblical? What are the qualifications of church membership? What are the responsibilities of members of a church? And what are the privileges as well? There are privileges that go along with church membership. So one of the things that as a church body, we're set up that there are elders who are to lead and to guide and direct us as we go. And we're to discern when somebody wants to become a member, as best as our ability is to find out if they're regenerate. Only God truly knows the heart. But we want to hear from you as you share your testimony, how God got a hold of you, how he changed you, how he brought you out of darkness into light, how he brought you from death into life. And so as we talk and you share, hopefully we don't get some kind of a strange testimony of, you know, the sunlight was shining through the window and it caught me in the face, and this feeling just overwhelmed me. You know, we're and these testimonies like that, sometimes the gospel is nowhere to be found, and so we try to help and to assist and to share the gospel where necessary, and maybe postpone that process of church membership until we know for sure that, or at least we think that they have been born again. And so what are the What are the qualifications of church membership? I ran into a snag as I was studying this. And one of the qualifications, the main qualification, is that you have been redeemed. There's the first one. The second one, in my opinion, is baptism is a requirement. Now, in our packet to those who are interested in becoming members, there's a statement in there that I just butted heads with yesterday. It says, although baptism is a command to the church to perform and an expression of obedience for the Christian, no mandate has been given to the church to exclude anyone from its membership based on their failure to be baptized. And so I struggle with that. So you may use the argument, the thief on the cross, right? Well, I suppose if y'all are nailed to a cross, that's a pretty good reason for not getting baptized. Or if there's some sort of medical condition where you can't be submersed underwater, would be something else. But it should be the exception and not the rule, for sure. So is baptism required in my opinion, this is me talking, so I think it is, unless there are some extraordinary circumstances. And if you desire desire church membership and haven't been baptized, we would encourage you strongly to take that step of obedience that you haven't taken. Here you are willing to commit yourself to the family of God, but you're not willing to commit to taking that step of standing with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, identifying yourself with him, and yet would like to be a member. So I would wrestle with that. So I'm sure I'll get hit with that after the service. But it's in our new member packet. So it needs to be tweaked, in my opinion. So qualifications for baptism for church membership is you need to be able to profess what you believe in Christ, and the gospel should be heard in that. So is church membership biblical? You won't find that command in Scripture. However, it just exudes out of the New Testament all over the place that these folks who were a part of the church were members of something. Paul wrote to each of these churches in the various cities, the church of Corinth, the church of Thessalonica, Colossae, Galatia, and he was speaking to a specific group of people who were the church of that area. So there was a local church, and that's what this is, an expression of the local church. Okay, and what are the responsibilities of church members? Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 18. Kind of an obscure passage for this, but we'll go ahead and read. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Verse 12 and 13, that could be very self-serving for a pastor, couldn't it? Push that one real hard, you know, that you need to respect your elders and so forth. But I think that's what's happening here is this is what the dynamic of the church is, how God ordained that the church manages, that there are people that are ordained into positions of leadership that are your overseers, your shepherds, your bishops, if you will. But he gives some really good instructions in here as far as what the responsibilities of a church member is, to be at peace with one another. That can be hard sometimes, can it? We might have some struggle with that baptism thing afterwards, and some peace might, but you know, we'll be okay. Be at peace with one another. Admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak and be patient with them all. These sound like characteristics of Jesus, don't they? I mean, he condescended. Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, condescended, became a man, walked among us, and he came to serve. Serve those who needed help. Apart from him, they were helpless. They were dead in their trespasses and sin, but God, in his love and mercy, called them out of that darkness. So he tells us that we're to serve one another. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago in the church, that you know that's what our purpose is to contribute. God gifts each of you, and we're to contribute that giftedness for the benefit of the whole as we grow and conform together more into the image of Christ. And so, you know, we're a part of something much bigger than ourselves here. And so many try to go this thing by themselves. There's thousands of churches, evangelical churches today, that have no membership process at all. If you show up, you're a member. If you don't show up, you're a member. You know, how does that work? What are the elders to do with that? I mean, shouldn't the shepherd know who his sheep are? So our goal, again, is to have a congregation that is regenerate, hopefully you've been baptized, but church membership helps us guard the purity of the church. So we have a membership that we know that is somewhat like-minded, and so that would help to guard in the unity, and it protects. It's a fence for the church, isn't it? Another thing, the church membership provides the privilege of accountability to the leaders. You know, I said it before. Who are the sheep? Who are our sheep if there's no membership? There is an inside the church and an outside of the church. 1 Corinthians 5:12-13 says, "For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges the outsiders." Church membership is an expression of a commitment to the family of God. Well, you know, someone asks you, where do you go to church? I go wherever, it doesn't matter. You know? What kind of an expression of that is the body of Christ? You're a part of something much bigger than yourself. So there's a, for the members, there was a commitment that to the family. So what are some of the obligations of the church members? Well, if you can show up, that'd be great. You know, that's always a good thing, showing up, unless providentially hindered. There's contributing, not only your time, treasure, and talent for the benefit of the whole. So those are some of the responsibilities of a. Also to it said in our text in verse 17, to pray without ceasing as well. We're to pray for one another. There's a commitment there that we have for one another, that we love one another and build each other up and encourage one another and admonish one another. So all these one another's that come up, we're to participate in. Membership provides a means for telling the world that you're a follower of Jesus Christ as well. Membership pulls us into the grand story of God's covenant of love. Pulls us into that, you know, we're the bride of Christ. Church membership encourages participation to work together as a church. So we'll take on projects occasionally, or there's something we want to accomplish and come together and, you know, we've done it before where we have a family event in the parking lot and bounce house and hot dogs and that kind of thing with an objective. The objective is to be able to share with people the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is no other way to get right with the Father. He provided for us the means to be saved. We're dead in our sins and trespasses, and God made a way by faith. We trust in Him and His finished work on the cross. He lived a sinless life and died and paid that sufficient sacrifice. We can't add to it in any way whatsoever. We can't work our way. We can't do good enough. Christ did it all. Finished. It is finished, He said. And so by trusting in Him in faith, He brings us alive. He takes what is dead and makes it alive. He gives us a new appreciation for His Word. guides us through and helps us to understand it better, to know Him more, to become more intimate with Him, to love Him, and to trust Him with what we have. It's not a matter of believing and everything becomes perfect and rosy. It's not the case. Life can be hard, absolutely hard. But God is good all the time. Church membership helps us distinguish between neighbors and the household of God. Church membership prevents us from showing favoritism. That's interesting. When you're a family, you don't get to pick and choose, do you, who your besties are. I know as a dad and with seven kids, I always strive to fight against sibling rivalry, where they would fight and bicker. They're to be best friends. Ain't nobody in the world like your brother or sister. And you're to be, to love them and encourage them and build them up. It's an example of what to do there as well as what to do here. So we can't just pick and choose who we want to minister to and exclude others. So showing favoritism is not something that the body of Christ should be involved in. We are part of a family. All the members are equal. And church membership helps us to prevent from going it alone. Because what happens when you go at it alone? I know, because I tried. What happens when you go at it alone? There's no accountability. There will be a slide to the self. The flesh wants to be revived. I went to a evangelical event one time when I was in high school and heard the preacher preach, got convicted of my sin, walked forward, signed the little card, still got it in the back of one of my Bibles, signed the little card and sat there and waited for someone to come talk to me, and I'm trying to figure out what just happened. No one ever did. And so then I started going to church by myself, and it was no growth. Nobody coming in to extend their love. And I ended up going to college and coming out on the other side of that, wondering if there was a God or not. And so by his mercy and by his grace, he sustained and restored and continues the work. And so I praise him for that. God is good in that, because we're not built to go at it alone. We are built to be a family, built to be a beautiful bride for Christ. And so church membership, is it biblical? I would say absolutely it's biblical. It's all over the New Testament. Is it necessary? Absolutely it is necessary. Are we to love one another as Christ loved the church? By giving and sacrificing ourselves? If we could only do it more, right? Our flesh gets in the way of it, doesn't it? So we looked at the church membership. Is it biblical? What are the qualifications, the responsibilities of the church members, and the privileges? There are privileges of being a church member. When something goes wrong in somebody's life, the church should rally around that person to encourage and edify and to pull them out of whatever it is, or correct, exhort. We don't like that. We don't like when that happens, but it's necessary for us to grow and sometimes be shaken up a little bit because we get so comfortable. We're not to be comfortable. Our walk is to be somewhat uncomfortable. It's not comfortable always sharing the gospel, is it? If we push ourselves to be able to share the gospel with others, give them the opportunity to acknowledge Christ as their Lord and Savior. What rejoicing that is every time that takes place, when we share the gospel and someone believes, and then to embrace them into the family of God and then encourage them as they grow. We see them grow, and just a beautiful picture of the body of Christ, and we should do our best to do as Christ has called us to do in that. If it seems like I'm jumping around in my notes, it's because I am. I'm all over the place here. I'm not sure where I'm at even at this time. So, but I'm gonna go ahead and read the text again, and then we'll close with that. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seeks to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Did you hear that? Give thanks in all circumstances. I'll tell you what, I'm going to need a church family behind me to have that kind of attitude. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. If you ever want to know what the will of God is, there it is right there. For this is the will of God. Give thanks in all circumstances. Father, we thank you for our time this morning. I know that only you can do the work of regeneration in the lives of your people. And I pray for our church. Help us to come together closer, more intimately in our service toward one another. Help us not to be on the fringe, but in the mix. Help us all to do that, to participate, to do it in love, and that you would be honored and glorified by it. That's what you've called us to do, to point to you and your glory. So help us, Lord, as we go, your flock, your children, your sheep, that you would be lifted up on high and that you'd be praised, and that you would do your work of expanding your kingdom. Do your will through us, Lord, and may we cooperate as we go. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to leave you with this benediction from Hebrews 13:20 through 21.